Tweet at Today SOR.
The use of statins, cholesterol-lowering drugs, has increased enormously since the 1980s, but research on the benefit of statins as a preventative measure against cardiovascular disease needs a lot more investigation. That's according to a new study by researchers at NUI Galway, Dr. Paula Byrne and Dr. John Cullinan, along with RCSI Professor Susan M. Smith. Dr. Paula Byrne joins me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. This, I think, forms the basis of a PhD study that you yourself did, Paula. You looked first at the rise in the use of statins since 1987. What did you find?
Yes, so I suppose firstly to say that statins are an extremely commonly used drug in Ireland and across the world. And what we did was initially we looked at how clinical guidelines, which guide doctors' decisions, have supported the rise of the use of statins over time. So we looked at European clinical guidelines and we applied the criteria for those guidelines to a group of over 50s in Ireland. So we looked at, in 1987, what proportion of that group would be eligible for statins. And as the guidelines changed over time, how that has changed. So we found that clinical guidelines would have, there would have been about 8% of people in 1987 eligible for statins according to the guidelines. But by 2016, 61% could be eligible.
Wow, that's quite an increase.
That's quite an increase. And this is in people in primary prevention, which means people who have not had cardiovascular disease.
Yeah, because there are two reasons for prescribing. The first is as a response to a cardiovascular event. And the second, and that's what you're covering really, the use of statins in preventing cardiovascular disease.
Yeah. So we also looked at then this group of over 50s and to see actually how are statins being used currently in Ireland? Who uses them? Why do they use them? So we found that of statin users, about 60% are in the primary prevention category. But in women, nearly three quarters of women who take statins are taking them for primary prevention, compared with about 57% of men. And overall, about 30% of over 50s are taking statins altogether.
What's the overall percentage?
There's about 30% of this group that we looked at were taking statins over 50s.
It's quite a high number. And again, as you say, 60% of men taking them for preventative reasons, 75% or three quarters, as you say, roughly, of women for preventative reasons. Now, is there any, what have you been finding, or do you come to any conclusions about the effectiveness or otherwise, you know, on the basis that this is a very high number?
Yes, so what interested us then was, well, if we have this large proportion in primary prevention, what is the evidence that supports that use? So we went to try and pull out exclusively primary prevention data from trials and systematic reviews, etc. And we found that actually very few trials separate people primary from secondary. So we pulled out the ones that we could. And while we found that in those data, there were significant reductions in various outcomes. So a trial would typically look at maybe all-cause mortality, vascular deaths, all different outcomes. So while overall, these were what are called significantly reduced, a person's absolute risk depends on their baseline risk. So, for example, a 45-year-old woman who doesn't smoke, has good blood pressure, etc., might have a very low risk of in the future developing cardiovascular disease compared to a man in his 60s who might be overweight, smokes, you know, has high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So, for example, if we took a woman that had a 3% risk of developing disease in the future compared to a man who had a 30% risk, mm-hmm. and if the trials tell us, well, we'll reduce your risk by maybe 10%. In the woman, that 10% is 10% of 3%. So you're reducing your risk from 3% to 2%, whereas in a man that has a very high risk, you might reduce from 30% to 20%. So a significant, you know, benefit there, I think anyone would agree it would be in the man's case. Now, it was further complicated by the fact that these data, when we looked at them, and when the data themselves were stratified by risk, so when we looked at people below 5%, 5 to 10, etc., what happened then was that the estimate that you get in a trial is, for example, we'll say a 10% reduction between people in the trial who are taking statins compared with those who are not. But the trial is not the real world. So we apply something called confidence intervals, and we say this is the range within which we think the true value of the effect is. So if an effect is statistically significant, it means that both ends of those ranges you will find a reduction in risk. Sometimes it's not statistically significant. So you might have a low risk or a risk reduction at one end of the confidence interval, but an actual risk increase at the other end. So that further complicates the decision about the absolute benefit in individuals.
Right, and it is, as you say, it's complicated stuff. Now, obviously, and I think you wouldn't recommend anybody to come off or encourage anybody to come off medication, certainly not without consulting with their medical advisors, be they GPs or consultant. But does your research tell us anything about how well or otherwise patients are fully informed before they take on this kind of medication?
Yes, so we didn't look at that ourselves, but there has been work done elsewhere, particularly in the UK. But what we are saying is that the debate has become quite polarised on statins, and we think if there was more awareness of these limitations of our current knowledge, it would facilitate better communication and aid informed choices. That patients' preferences are important. So, for example, you might consider a certain risk reduction to be worthwhile, and I might not think so. So all we're saying is that we would like the awareness of the limitations of the data to be.
And what about side effects? I don't know if that's something that you looked at, Paula.
Yeah. So again, we didn't look at that ourselves, but there is considerable debate and controversy about the side effects. So for example, a very large study that looked at patients said that 10,000 patients taking statins for 5 years, you'd get 5 cases of myopathy, which is muscle pain, 50 to 10 cases of new cases of diabetes, and 5 to 10 cases of hemorrhagic strokes. Now, those data would put those side effects as quite low, but observational studies looking at patients in the real world have often found much higher reported cases, particularly of muscle pains. So going back to a person making their own individual choice based on their own absolute risk reduction, plus what they think about the harms. But also there is quite a limitation in what we have. The information on harms is not available for independent research, and we would really like that
to be the case. You argue that there is information held by the manufacturers, the pharmaceutical companies, that could be useful to increasing public, our specialist knowledge on this.
Exactly. So there is a group in the UK called the Cholesterol Treatment Trialists, and they hold a lot of the data for the pharmaceutical industry. There have been many calls for those data to be released for independent research, and it would really inform our decisions about statins, particularly in low-risk people.
And if people want to find out more, you have a big article about this in the British Medical Journal today.
Just out today, yes.
Okay, yeah. Paula Byrne, Dr. Paula Byrne, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. We'll take a break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.